in the coffee. Dunkin' Bagel, Dunkin' Bagel, Dunkin' Bagel. Smash in the coffee. Lots of balsamini.
A filter fish.
A computer fish booty.
Pickle herring.
A pickle herring booty.
Lots of fish.
Lots of fish. Dunkin' Bagel. Dunkin' Bagel. Dunkin' Bagel. Smash in the coffee.
It's been some time since the last edition of Bridget's Bagel, and with good reason. Too many reasons to mention, as some of them are just a bit too sad, and others too humdrum. But I'm back with my tasty little podcast that features Jewish people and things, and sometimes the not so Jewish. Either way, I like to keep it fun and upbeat, because there is enough to listen to that makes you miserable. So I'm that little ray of sunshine, hopefully. You don't really know me at all, but those who do will tell you that entertainment, and notably musicals, are my thing. My darling mother, Carol, who passed away last June, introduced us, my sister and I, to musicals before we could talk, and whether it was Fred and Ginger, Gene Kelly and Mitzi Gaynor, Danny Kaye, or Julie Andrews, whatever they were singing and dancing to, so were we. Liza Minnelli was a particular favourite of my mother's. Not only did she sing the songs from Cabaret when she did Cabaret herself, she was a performer, she made us watch the film countless times. This year is the film's 50th anniversary, the film directed by Bob Fosse that won so many awards. And while we were in lockdown, I planned how to mark the anniversary, not only as a tribute to the film, but as a tribute to my mother. As editor of Jewish News Life magazine, I decided to fill a section with Fred Ebb and John Kander's musical about 1930s Berlin, and put none other than the master of ceremonies himself on the cover. And by that, master of ceremonies, I mean actor Joel Grey, who won an Oscar for the film. Of course, putting him on the cover meant interviewing him. And at the time, he was hiding away like the rest of us in his New York apartment. Not that we were all hiding away in his apartment. Over what felt like 5 minutes, once I eventually secured the interview, we talked about Cabaret, COVID restrictions, coming out when he was in his 80s, and so many other odd things. And you'll hear them all. I must say he was quite shy at times, but really happy to meet my dogs and my daughter, who couldn't stop talking, but then neither could I. I've left all of it in because it's funny and real. Let me just say that once he'd agreed to talk to me, I could barely contain my excitement. And neither, it seemed, could he.
Look at you!
Look at you! Oh my goodness, sir, it is such a pleasure. Honestly, it's amazing.
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you. It's really great to see you. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, just saying what an honour it is. I loved it when you spoke on our Fiddler on the Roof when we did the 50th anniversary. That was amazing. And to have you as, you know, part of that was fantastic. I loved your Yiddish production. It is so moving and incredible. And I've watched every subsequent video since connected to it, or yeah, when you've done the parodies of the other shows in Yiddish.
Oh, yes. Give my regards to Broadway.
Yeah, it was superb. Superb. Do you think there's room for Cabaret in Yiddish?
For what?
For Cabaret.
Cabaret? No. However, I have some other ideas.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. But I'm not telling you about
them. Are they going to be ideas that are going to come to fruition?
Hopefully.
Yeah?
You know, we don't know anything today, right?
No. How have you done through this whole dreadful period of...
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to judge that. Look at that.
You're illuminated.
I just gave you a little light.
That's so superb. Can you believe it's been 50 years since the film was made?
No. Feels like yesterday. And what did I find recently? There's some pictures of Liza Minnelli and I just playing on the road. And it seems like yesterday.
Can you, because you'd already done the stage performance, which had already been deemed as iconic. And then was it Fosse who approached you to do the film?
No, he approached everyone else. But the producers insisted. So I went into this without his blessing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. But
that was the way it was. And we never really figured out what it was that he was resistant about, except that I think maybe he wanted to play the part.
Oh, really? Because it was a part that he could see him, because it was so theatrical and jazz handy.
Yes. Yeah. But it's never been explained.
Wow. How was it when you were actually working together, though?
Horrible.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it was this uphill.
Is that because he was a taskmaster and a perfectionist or that he had a vision that no one else shared?
We'll never know.
No, because I mean the finished product was, you know, remarkable, and
that's all that ultimately matters.
Yeah. Well, did you shoot it all? Was it all shot in the States?
Munich. Yeah.
Oh right, it was all shot in a studio in Munich.
Yes, my part.
Right. Did they wanted to make it in Germany for authentic reasons?
Yeah. It was a good idea.
Yeah. How much did you actually know about 1930s Berlin before you even did the stage production? I mean, how did you know?
Well, since I was just born.
Right.
I only know about it from history and pain and misery and sadness of what the Holocaust was and, you know, what the world was like.
Because when you look, it's interesting because there's somebody here in London actually who is assembling.
Are you recording?
Yes, I am.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. There's somebody here in the UK that has assembling, is in the process of archiving magazines from all over the world that go back to sort of turn of the century, actually, the last century, not this one. And that whole, it was such a vivid, prior to obviously the Nazis, it was such a vivid theatrical, you know, the whole cabaret thing was just, you know, amazing. It was like you would imagine anything like that to be. Did you when you were in Germany, did you do any kind of sort of historical visiting or to see?
I went to the camp,
to Dachau.
Yeah
and
that was devastating.
That's not going to put a song in your heart, is it?
Devastating.
Yeah.
But it put the right thing in my mind. And my idea of BMC was to make him so horrible that he would be a lesson of what to stay away from.
That line, the line, she doesn't look Jewish at all. What was that? In the original?
Yes.
It was.
And then it was cut on the stage because there were people who misunderstood it.
Right.
They thought it was like literal, and it wasn't. And I was told not to do it, but I would let it slip out all the time. Naughty boy.
The fact that, I mean, the times that we're living in now, where anti-Semitism is on the increase, it has been, I mean, certainly in the UK, we've had, you know, a massive wave of it. And I know that in America, you're experiencing similar problems.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the revival of it, which we're doing here with Eddie Redmayne, do you feel it's like has a kind of a relevance?
No, I think it's always forever relevant.
Right.
Mm. You know, on so many levels.
When you were doing the Yiddish production of Fiddler, and I mean your work with the Yiddish company is you know, now it's been acclaimed and rightly so. Did you suffer any anti-Semitism at all around it, or anything that, you know, no graffiti on posters around New York or anything?
No, just a tremendous amount of love and acclaim about hearing the language and knowing the history and going through all that made the audiences rethink what they thought.
So do you actually speak it fluently yourself?
No.
Because I saw you reading when you did the Broadway one. You were reading, weren't you? I saw that.
That's good for you.
Has it improved, should I say?
No, not at all.
So there are words literally that just like your eyes glaze over when you hear them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very comfortable with Yiddish and speaking it, but it's not a language that I use on a daily basis.
No, they do have.
But I wish I did, because I think it's rich and wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's superb. I watched a film the other night, an Arena special on Isaac Bashevis Singer, where he actually acted in this film. There's an anniversary of the Arena that was on the BBC, and six of their subjects that they did were Jewish themed. And the Isaac Bashevis Singer film is amazing because he's sort of it's semi-autobiographical, but he's acting within it. And of course, his use of Yiddish is poetic. I mean, it's truly poetic. Have you ever seen that film?
No.
I could send it to you if you like.
I would love it.
I can send it to you. I'll send it to Maria, yeah?
Yeah, Marie.
Marie. How do you say her surname?
You can't.
Because it looks like Bashir, the way that it's written.
Bashert. I don't think she knows that.
Maybe tell her. Maybe.
I think maybe I will. Because Bashert means meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. So that was it. So
that's Marie meant to be.
She's a rhyme.
So tell me about your magazine.
Well, the magazine is called Life, like most Jewish magazines are, and it has a theme usually that I like to have, depending on whether there's a holiday or not. But the fiddler on the roof one, once I realised that it was the 50th anniversary of Fiddler, I thought, right, this is going to be the platform where we bring them all together, all the surviving cast. And so I had all of the sisters, as you know, they're all of Roslyn and Paul Michael Glaser. And then what happened was that I tried to contact Topol, I then got his daughter, his youngest daughter, Adi, who then told me that her father had Alzheimer's and that it was getting steadily worse and that he didn't even remember being in Fiddler or anything.
So sad.
Welcome and bienvenue, welcome, friend, étranger, stranger.
I mean, yours is the iconic interpretation. And as you said, you wanted him to be as evil as he could be, like sinister as he could be. Was there discussion about your portrayal of him? I mean, did Fosse...
No, it was my personal choice.
Right. And Fosse didn't ask for any changes in the film for that?
No. His nickname for me was Mr. Porno.
Really? How come?
Because I was all over the girls. And he understood that very well, because he was always all over the girls.
Wow, he certainly was.
In his life.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, all that jazz is, Roy Scheider's All That Jazz is, accurate. Really accurate. Did you work together again after the movie?
Who?
You and Fosse.
Not for one second.
I'm getting the impression this was not a marriage made in heaven.
No, I mean, I was a great fan of his and still am. But he had this thing.
Yeah.
Totally, you know, there was nothing that he could have based it on.
No. It is a little odd when something is that kind of established. And your friendship formed were you friends with Liza before the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, and then it deepened, and it's deeper today.
Right. How is she?
She's good.
Yeah?
Good, yep. We talk every couple of weeks.
Cool.
She's in LA, and I'm here freezing.
Have you talked about the 50th anniversary of the film?
No.
Yeah. Is that something that is like, is it's kind of, it's wonderful, but it's also kind of tainted by the passing years?
No.
No. No.
I don't feel that.
No. Do you think also, because of the nature of it, we live in this kind of woke times where everybody has multiple pronouns for themselves, and do you think that the interpretation of the story will change because of that?
Probably not.
No.
I mean, it was just, was an acceptance of the way it was then with the gender.
Yeah.
Subject.
I know, we think we've come so far, don't we? But we haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's old.
When are you slated to show this?
January it will be, because that's the start of the 50th year for the film. And I was wondering, you know, you're such a prolific photographer. You know, these wonderful books that you've done and everything. Were you taking photographs through that time when you were on Cabaret?
Yeah. I've been taking photographs since my children were born.
Did you go out much during when New York was in lockdown and silent and empty?
Very little.
So you didn't do any photography then?
In the house.
All right. Okay. In the house. Your daughter and her musical, I mean, so she's inherited your theatrical genes.
I hope so.
Was she ever destined to be a Sally Bowles?
Never.
No. No. Would you like to have seen her do that?
No.
No. No. How am I that this keeps pinging? I've got a brand new computer, and it's just like one of those things. I've got to tell you, I'm a bit like a troglodyte when it comes to these things. Did you stay in touch with Marissa?
Very, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she's living in, is it Morocco now?
Yeah.
We
connect via Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Which is nice.
Yeah, she still looks incredible. Amazing.
She's gorgeous.
And Michael York?
I haven't seen him in a longest time. But I'm so fond of him. And I think he was so great in that movie.
Yeah, no, he was fabulous, fabulous. Did you, with the premiere of the, I mean, where was the premiere for the film?
It was, I think it was in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we had a big New York opening too.
Right. Did they premiere it in San Francisco for a particular reason?
I don't know.
No, I just wondered whether, because of the subject matter and everything. Obviously you're coming out and everything, and how kind of the attention to that was so great. I have to tell you that I edited Gay Pride when I lived in New York. That was one of my many hats that I did. So, and I've edited Gay Pride here in the UK as well. And we had all of the states. So Miami, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and they all used to come in to New York for our kind of sit down about what was going to be in the magazine and everything. Has your life changed exponentially since you came out?
I don't think so. I'm the same guy.
Yeah. Do you feel more comfortable in your skin or just the same?
Just the same.
Did you suddenly find yourself being sought by every gay organization to be a kind of spokesperson, mascot?
Alas, no.
Really?
No, there wasn't. There's so many people talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no shortage.
There's no shortage.
Absolutely not. Do you remember when you did your show at the Palladium here in the UK?
Right. I do very well.
Yeah, that was my mum and dad saw that show. My mother was absolutely obsessed with you. And she really was. And she still, there were two standout one-man shows that Ben Vereen was one. And yours was the other that she talked about incessantly and loved, really loved.
So nice.
Yeah.
Look what she gave you.
Yeah, I know. Well, she gave me that was the thing, that the musicals was her legacy to us, really, that love and passion for great talent, you know, and being able to recognize it, because people who are truly talented don't even have to, you know, they've got nothing to prove. It's just seamless. So that's how it seems with you.
No. No stigma.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So maybe stigmata.
In the hands. In the hands. So what plans do you have? I mean, are you doing any cabaret reunion or anything?
We're going to do another revive production of Fiddler on the Roof. It's going to tour in the United States.
Right. Will you take it out of America and take it to other places?
Could be. Yeah. They want it in China.
China.
You want to go?
I don't know. Do you?
I like Chinese food.
I don't know. I think it's the same in China.
The is food?
It? Yeah. No, it's not the same as you do. You know, like the Jewish Christmas Day. It's not like that Chinese food, is it? It's like, it's more Chinese.
You're funny.
So is that, you're not taking it to China, are you?
I'm not going.
No. I don't think many of us are going to China.
I haven't left my four blocks in weeks.
Where's the furthest you've gone?
Hmm?
Where's the furthest you've gone?
The furthest?
Yeah, you've gone in the last, say, 2 years, probably.
Oh, nowhere. I've gone upstate to have a little reunion with all the fiddler actors, who just are so connected to each other, like forever. And there were so many non-Jewish and non-Yiddish speaking actors who had to learn. And they are as committed as anybody.
Wow.
It's touching.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, that reviving the language, you know, which you, I mean, and in this country particularly, where they really struggle with a huh, you know, it's chaim potok, they say. It's a hard one.
Is that wrong?
Chaim?
Of course. Chaim. Hey, chaim, come here.
Yeah, they're not good at the huh. There's no huh. I've just written a screenplay for a film about the Beatles manager, Brian Epstein, that they're making at the moment, this movie. And it's really funny when non-Jewish actors are, especially in the UK, not in America, but in the UK, that real, and you're like going, and no, it's huh, huh. It's like.
You mean like chime?
Like chime, exactly like chime. That's hilarious.
You're having too much fun today.
I don't think I am. I'm trying to have fun. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's a weird time. We're sort of, it's a bit of a twilight time because we're out, but we're not out. You know, people are still not comfortable. And you're just making plans seems optimistic most of the time.
Right. Plans for the future.
Yeah.
Right. I think everybody's suffering from that.
Did you do any anything on, I mean, obviously you've got this wonderfully, you know, the design of your apartment and everything. Did you move the furniture around much when it was locked down?
No. No, I didn't. However, there was one day when I did the laundry and the dryer wasn't working. So I spread everything out all over the living room. It was very funny.
You can do that when you're not having visitors, can't you? That's the thing.
I can do it. Oh, I actually wanted to have a party. But I didn't.
In where your apartment is, do you have other theatrical types around you? Are there other, like, musical? No.
Artists.
Yeah, no artists.
Painters.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, painters. Is it quite, and any of their work is on your wall, your neighbors? Because you paint, you paint yourself, don't you, as well?
No, no. I'm not a painter.
You haven't done any... Oh, it's because the photographer... That's it. I watched the interiors program about you. And they're your photographs. My dog is barking.
Well, bring your dog on. Let me see your dog.
There's two of them here.
Come here, honey.
Dumbledore, come here. Come here, Dumbledore. Dumbledore.
Come here.
Come here.
Come here, doggy. Come up here.
That's one. Go on. Oh my God. He's gone. This is the little one. Albus, come here. There's two of them.
Oh.
This is Albus.
Beautiful. What's his breed?
He's a Tibetan Terrier.
Gorgeous.
This is Albus. And then he's got a... So Albus is 10 months. But the other one is 11 years old. So he's like an old man. And the little one is driving him straight, right? That's what he is. That's what he is. My daughter has just come to the door and just gone, is that tall grey? And
I thought, let me talk to her.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm shaking.
Oh, good.
You're a legend. Oh, my God.
Well, I couldn't be a legend if I'm talking to you.
I'm, like, shaking.
I've shown her. Yeah, see?
You're so cool.
Your mom is so nice.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you for everything you do. You're the OG. You're the who... people like me need to know and look up to. Thank you so much for being yourself and everything you do, and your talent is incredible. Your artistic talent is amazing.
Okay, your mom is finished. No, you've been replaced.
Yeah, that's it. There we are. See? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's it. We've So she's 14, so isn't it good to know you've got fans of that age?
Yay.
Do you still love going to watch, or do your feet itch when you're sitting there?
No. I love the theater.
Do you ever dance in the apartment?
No.
Wait. No?
Are you offering me?
Shall we dance? That's a different
Shall
musical.
We dance? Shall we dance?
Different musical. Did you keep any memorabilia from Cabaret, from the show?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, what did you keep?
Eyelashes.
Makeup,
yeah. I have some costumes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not putting them on for you.
No, I don't expect that would be a big ask, because it's early in the morning there.
It's a big ask.
Yeah, it is a big ask. But that's brilliant. And you've got to see.
It's a big ass ask.
So, oh, wow, that's really, that's brilliant that you kept them. Are they all under wraps? Like, are they all like in, or in a case, or in a...
No, I have them on mannequins all over the house.
Stop. I can't tell when you're telling the truth.
That was not the truth.
I didn't think it would be. It would be amazing to walk into your apartment, though, and the MC costume was there. And further down...
I think that would be so depressing.
No. It would only be a Nazi uniform on a mannequin. Now that would be depressing.
You're not going to find it in my house.
I'd love to find myself in Joel Grey's house or apartment to look at the photos he's taken, so many of which have been published in his books, or to see his Cabaret film memorabilia up close. I was lucky enough to see Eddie Redmayne as the MC in the current stage production of Cabaret in the West End, and rather sweetly, Joel sent Eddie a bouquet of flowers on his opening night. Eddie was an excellent MC, I mean remarkable, but there will only ever really be one, and that's Joel Grey. The newly recolored version of the film is really worth seeing to remember just how magnificent he is. That's all, I guess, for this long-awaited edition of Bridget's Bagel. Join me again soon for another chat.
Dunkin' Bagel, smash in the coffee. Lots of bone, lots of arzarini.
A filter fish,
a computer fish, a booty.
Pickle herring,
a pickle herring booty.
Lots of sushi,
lots of sushi. Dunkin' Bagel, Dunkin' Bagel, Dunkin' Bagel, smash in the coffee.